Hey guys. Welcome
Sure.
back to Cuento Cuento. KP is not here. I don't know if he will join us, and if he does, I may or may not let him in. We'll see.
We have
But
not heard from him all day,
yeah. We are inside.
but we are inside
We're
today.
inside today.
Hey guys, welcome back to Cuento Cuento Podcast. This is Angela.
It's your girl Tessa.
What's up, guys? It's Ed.
And this is KP.
Feel like it's been kind of a long couple or week or so for the team.
But I want to know how Tessa's pageant preparations are going. I'm
Ooh, girly
really
pop. Listen, so those of
Oh
you.
God.
I'm giving the backstory. So we talked about this briefly, and those of you who are avid listeners of the pod know some juicy details. But basically, I'm running for Miss Virginia, Philippines, Miss Philippines, Virginia, USA, which is part of the Miss Universe pageant series. So if you win Virginia one, you go on to
Oh
compete,
no, she
like.
froze. Or did I freeze?
No, what?
She's okay
Oh,
online.
it froze on me.
You sure?
Oh, my internet connection is unstable. You know why? It's raining, and usually here, if it's raining, well, I just my electricity would just go out. So
Oh
let's make
no, yo,
it to
dead
the
ass
end.
bro. What kind of
Yeah.
haunted house are you living in?
She's
So,
like
bro,
the
I
rain.
apologize. Please continue.
No, you're fine. I'm like worried about you. Just in ch are all your
Yeah.
electronics charged at this point?
Do you have running water?
No, like,
Like,
and my stove, like, everything is electricity. So
is it raining hard or is it just like a light gust?
it's like, even if it's drizzling, sometimes the electricity would just go out. So,
Pennsylvania folk.
Pennsylvania in the
Yeah,
mountains.
in the mountains.
The
Anyways,
mountains, they are pretty. Anyway, so
not you
if
drinking Diet Coke.
he win, who?
You are you
I'm not
drinking
drinking
Diet
Diet
Coke?
Coke.
Okay, I thought it was Diet Coke.
No, I'm not drinking any Coke or Pepsi products.
Oh,
Small sideways. Because free Palestine. Anyway.
that's right.
So if you win Miss Philippines, Virginia, you can go on to compete in the other pageants, which eventually lead up to Miss Universe. So the organizer of this pageant is Nate, who you guys have met before on the pod. He kind of does a lot of pageants. It's one of his things, and he does some in California, and I think this is the first he's doing on the East Coast. So what's been really cool is he's been hosting these weekly meetings. And Angela, I think you were in the one before, the week before, but I think he's doing them every single week, every single Monday up until the pageant, just giving like information about things to do. And like prep and things like that, which I think is very helpful. But I'm curious because like we're about 6 months until the pageant at this point, maybe five, and it's just like it's like t it would be 20 sessions, and they're like an hour long, 20-hour long sessions. So I'm like, how much information is like going to be coming at us? But I will say, Angela, they briefed us about the shoes. So I was actually wondering what shoes you wore because he sent me to like a couple different places.
I don't remember the brand because I've done many. I think Chinese laundry would be one of them. I just know
Chinese
that they're
laundry.
all like the same kind of nude, like 6 inches kind of thing.
Yeah, so they sent me to different places. Chinese laundry was one of them. Pleaser was the other, which I think is a stripper clothing website.
Listen.
And I'm kind of more like I kind of want to get the stripper ones because I feel like those are going to be more comfortable because like they're made for agility. You know what I
Wait,
mean?
what? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're made for
For
agility.
standing
Definitely
for
try
long
them out
periods
and
of
break them
time.
in.
Yeah. So, and then he also did start talking about the walk. I forget the name of it,
Pasarela.
but pasarela. Is that specifically Filipino or is it? It is. Okay. So he was like, yeah, you might need to get a pasarela instructor.
I
And I
will
was
be
like,
your pasarela instructor.
if you want to, for sure. But like the thing is you're in Pennsylvania until when?
until March 1st.
Oh, JK, that's plenty of time. Yeah, you'll be here plenty of time. I remember you were like, oh, you need to rent a studio. My office space actually has some mad long hallways, so I can just sneak you in there if we want to do that.
Yeah, but I prefer dance studios because I want you to see yourself because dance studios have mirrors.
Okay.
Yeah. Ed, you need to increase the volume on your.
Oh, I'm just super far away from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. This isn't my story to tell, so I moved back.
He was like, I'm gonna, in case I make noises.
Okay, yeah, so we have a lot to practice.
Oh my
not
gosh,
just
pageant mom.
There's different types of walking. There's your swimsuit walk. There's your gown walk. There's the way you introduce yourself because you will be introducing yourself. There's Q&A. There's standing. You got to stand in a specific way on
there's
stage.
Okay.
We have a lot to do, girl. We have a lot to do.
Yeah, I'm excited. Here's the thing is, like, I'm really excited. I feel like we've just been, the conversations that I've been having thus far are a lot more like logistics as opposed to the actual performance of the pageant. So like the last one that we talked about were like sponsorships. And then also they're still like, well, at this point when this goes live, they'll have it finalized, but they're still figuring out like the details of like when it's going to be, like the actual date and where it's going to be in Virginia Beach, which I love. Virginia Beach is actually a beautiful area. And it'll be nice to get out of the city for the summer. But yeah, I think it hasn't quite hit me yet because again, it's more like businessy stuff and it's not like the business side of it isn't too far fetched from what I do, like in my job. So I'm kind of just like still being eased into it. But I'm excited to walk in the shoes. I know that is going to be a challenge, but I am excited.
I would love to have like a little segment until the actual pageant, just like asking you some questions and see how you do.
Oh, like leading up to it?
Yeah, no, I mean like questions, like on stage Q&A questions.
Yeah. You want to do it live, like here?
Yeah.
Okay, throw me a question.
Ed will time us. Okay. You will get 30 seconds.
That's 30 it? Seconds. That's standard? Okay.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Okay.
And when you do your interview, I don't know how, like, I don't know if he's going to do, like, a preliminary thing.
Yeah.
If you do, like, a prelim interview, that's usually 2 minutes. And they'll just ask you about your application, like, stuff that you wrote down about yourself. So.
Okay.
Do I say time or what do I say?
Oh,
when I'm
here.
when I'm done asking the question, then you start the timer.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Okay, you ready?
Like the minute the breath leaves your body?
Yeah, when I like you, I think you can discern when the question is finished.
All right,
okay. Okay. If you could change one non-physical thing about yourself, what would it be?
That's an excellent question. One non-physical thing I would change about myself. I think I would work on my volume. I think sometimes when I am speaking, I get so excited because I'm so passionate about things that I want to talk about that sometimes when we are in quieter spaces, I tend to not notice that. But I think it comes from a good place because I just want to make sure that the person I'm talking to knows that I'm engaged and interested by what they're saying.
Okay, very nice. Snaps for Tessa. Some notes. I would say do not repeat the question answer because people are going to be like, oh, she's buying time, whatever.
I was.
And I like your energy. I like you're very bubbly and you're, you know, like you're happy. But I would say whenever you answer a question, you have to really like, I don't want to say BS it, but BS it because you want to have like a brand in a way that you always redirect to. So changing your volume, like, sure, like that's very quirky. That's very cute. But something more, a little bit more bigger than yourself.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
More bigger.
Yeah. Like more something, bigger. Something okay. with more like raw, like inner.
Oh, we need more rah-rah.
Yeah.
I'll take these notes. Yeah.
We need more like, I would love to change my patience or something. Like, I don't know, like something.
Oh, well, patience is a good one, actually. I am impatient. Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't bad.
No, we didn't need to say it was true. It doesn't have to be true.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be true.
Listen, doesn't need this...
It needs to be like part of your story, because you're gonna be a brand ambassador. Just think of it that way. So you need to always tie it in to something else. So
that's okay. It. No, those are great notes. Thank you. This actually also segues into something I wanted to bring up, where I want to brand myself as the people's pageanter.
The people's princess.
The people's pageanter, yes. Because
Congeniality.
Yeah. I need to watch it. I haven't watched that movie in like 15 years. It reminds me, like when I'm doing this, it reminds me there was this TikTok, or not even at one TikTok, but there was this girl who was rushing a sorority in the fall. And she was documenting her journey. And like, those are really popular now. Like, people love seeing it. But she wasn't like the other girls. Like, she wasn't like dressing in like $1,000 outfits and like having legacies. She was like, oh, I just want to do it because I think this would be fun. And this is who I am. And she wasn't necessarily like fitting into like the mold of the other girls. And I'm not saying the other girls were good or bad. She was just a little different, a little quirkier. And I feel like I am her.
I would say, because I have seen the candidates in this pageant, and with like the Miss Universe guidelines, they changed it. Like, now there's older people joining, there's people with like different body types. So I would say like this group is especially diverse. So I would say, to further your goal, maybe think of something very specific that they don't have and that you can only provide. So this will take some time for you to think about.
Okay. She's giving me homework.
Everyone there's a girl who's like in her late 30s or mid 30s or something.
I think
so. That's
like
something she could bring. That's what so I trained with a coach who trained like Miss Universes. Like, I paid so much.
Wow, girl.
And it was like a dream come true, though. Like, it was something I really wanted to do. And she told me that, like, because I'm like very insecure about my body. Like, I don't think I fit like the standard. So she said, instead of thinking of that in that way, think of it like, you don't have someone like me, so you need me. So have mentality and like have that energy. So I like where you're going, but like, be more specific, I guess. More like, do more self-reflection, I guess.
Okay. No, this is great. These are great notes to have. Yeah. This is excellent. I have my planner with me. I'm gonna grab it. Write these down. Isn't it cute?
Oh,
man.
It's blurred out. It looks cute in theory.
Never mind. I tried. It's okay. I'm ready. I just say that because I'm writing your notes down. Thank you. I appreciate that. I also wanted to know a little bit more about like your pageant journey, because I feel like we've talked a lot about mine, but I don't think like in the podcast, we've always been like, oh yeah, I did a pageant, or like I was doing a pageant, but like, we don't really know, the audience and me don't really know how you got into it, what exactly you did,
the audience knows me as like the Chick-fil-A girl.
Yeah, that's what the audience knows you as, the mean Chick-fil-A girl. And we need to like round that
Chick-fil-A
out.
Chick-fil-A girl with an attitude.
With an attitude. No free Chick-fil-A sauce. Get out of here.
Yeah, so for me, like, I started thinking about joining pageants when I was like 20, 21, because a friend of mine joined Miss New York USA, which was under the Miss Universe thing. And I was like, wait, you can sign up for that? Like, I thought they like invited you. You know. So basically, I just entered it, and then I got really hooked into it. I was like, I want more of this energy. And I was very like, in my first pageant, I was very like, I almost knocked down the screen behind me, because we have to do an opening dance. Mm-hmm. And Miss New York USA, there's like hundreds of girls in Miss New York USA. It's like the most crowded out of all of the Miss State USA pageants. So I was like all the way in the back and on top of this like platform. And then my heel got stuck at the edge of the stairs. So I almost fell backwards and I hit the screen, and you can see the screen is like shaking.
So
hello, I'm Angela. This is me. And then my walk was disgusting. It was terrible. Mm-hmm. I was just like there for a good time, you know, like I was all glammed up and whatever. And
Did you train for that one, or did you just kind of go into that?
It's like, okay. I watched a bunch of like Miss Universe videos and I tried to copy it. But then in my head, it wasn't the same as like what actually
But you enjoyed yourself, so that's
where was it
held, the Miss New York one?
It was held in Purchase College in Purchase, New York.
They
filmed Black Swan in that college. Good fact. And then after that, I think after that I did Nate's pageant. I like traveled to LA for this like unknown pageant all by myself. And it was
bold. Oh my gosh.
It was awesome because I had a dream and I was gonna like reach that dream no matter what. I really wanted to go to like the Philippines and compete in there. And that was like the preliminary to the like Miss World Philippines.
Are you eligible? Like two?
At that time, yeah.
Okay.
So I did that and it was lots of fun. I got into a little kerfuffle with the Scientologists, but it's okay.
Kerfuffle means she like flat out gave them the stink face and was like, you're stupid.
That means she threw hands. They caught bows.
It was lots of fun.
She was standing on business.
She was like, no, notice how she's like in her pageant. Like even the way you're talking right now is more like pageant brand Angela. Like you're a lot less aggressive, I guess.
Yeah, a lot less New York.
No, because Scientologists hate psychology. And I'm a psychology major, like, and I was like, well, do you have science in your favor? But anyways, and then they took my address and I was like, girl, like,
how did they get that?
I gave it to them.
What?
Because I'm like, yeah, catch me outside, you know?
Catch me outside.
Angela.
Yo, so, be your own self.
That was me for that. And it was a lot of fun. I actually have a video of like my entire pageant performance that I can
roll the clip
with you guys. After that, I did Miss World America, and then I was elected Miss Hawaii. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. Like after that, I was pretty old to do pageants. And then they eliminated the age limit, but I'm just so tired.
No, it's a lot. I get it. So how many pageants did you do total?
I would say like four.
Okay. Across like 4 years, like once a year?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Cause I only did one pageant once per year because I'm not made out
That's a lot. Yeah.
So yeah. And I trained a lot. I rented a dance studio and I did my walk. I walked with, like, I was trained by like the Miss Philippines International. She's like really sweet and lots of opening dances. You will be tired of opening dances.
Okay. He has not brought up anything about opening dances thus far.
Okay. I doubt that there's no opening dance. Every single pageant in the world has an opening dance.
Just know they're coming.
You know what I thought was funny about this is also when Nate like reached out to people or like opened the entries, he gave like no specifications of like logistics. He said it's gonna be, or like what's expected. He was like, it's gonna be in July in Virginia. You in? Like that was the whole pitch. And he got so many people and like, I don't know.
Well, Nate knows a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think like you, because he invited you to actually do it, right? And you were like, no, I'll just sponsor.
Yeah, I was like, man, I'm old. I'm just chilling. When I did my last pageant and I was like, you know what, I have to let this dream go. I really had no idea what to do with myself. I was like, what is my purpose? Like I had this whole Billie Eilish, what was I made for moment. Like I was just so like, I, And then now I'm just like easing into like slow living, like just chilling, just vibing.
She's still doing like 10,000 things though.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So
vibing.
That's my vibes.
Yeah, the vibe is 10,000 things at once.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
On behalf of the audience, thank you for that lore. That's great to know. Also, audience, if you didn't catch on, Angela is my new pageant mom. So,
it'll be lots of fun.
Funny Angela.
What?
Yeah, I know.
For Angela. Fun be for me too, because I get to watch.
I'm gonna have fun. Like, it should be a good time.
I like that the other girls in the pageant are recording their progress, and I really want you to do that as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
I would love to. I haven't started.
Yo, look, Angela's already scoping out the
competition.
Bro,
yeah, died. Girl.
No, there's girls in here who have, like, this is like what they do. Like, they've been doing pageants for like a long, long time. So that's why, I mean, here's the thing, is like, that's why my expectations of like winning are low. I also am not eligible. Like, I'm not a dual citizen, so I'm not eligible to compete.
Well, even if you don't want to win, what I don't want to happen for you is you're not prepared and you're
right
up in front of hundreds of Filipinos, and they're gonna be like, what is that girl doing there?
What is that pute doing?
Yeah.
You know, because I would tell you, like, after I did Nate's pageant, which was like a Filipino pageant, yeah, I had so many people come up to me, like, they were saying nice things because I prepared.
Yes.
But
yes,
they like notice. That's my point. Like, they are like, they're writing down their favorite girls, they're like watching your social media. Like what Nate said in the training, that people are going to watch you. Like, he's right. Like, they're going to watch you because you are doing a Filipino pageant.
I love that. Wow. I love being watched by people.
Yeah.
Consensually.
Right.
No, I think right. I am super duper excited about it. And yes, I want to do my best. That is definitely there. I think it's just knowing that I'm keeping my expectations realistic. So my goals for this is to do it and do it to the best of my abilities. I don't think my goal is necessarily to win, just because I think if that was my goal, it would be very, very, very difficult to obtain. But I want to do the best that I can to the best of my abilities and be prepared. Those are my goals.
Yeah. And it's good goals to have. You never know. You could be discovered, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that was like his whole thing with me, is like the pitch. Cause I don't think you know this, but like one time when we talked originally, cause I think he was looking for models. So I reached out to him about that, and he was like, oh, I don't need those anymore. But do you want to do a pageant? And I was like, I don't know about that. That was like half a year ago, like 6 months ago. And he was like, you know, like, the pageant isn't just the pageant. It's a lot about just like advertising yourself and your projects and things like that. And that, I was like, oh, I was like, maybe. I was like, I'm not traveling to LA for it, but like, maybe if it's closer. And then he made one closer.
Yeah, that's another reason why I don't want to do a pageant, because I feel like you have to, you're like put in this mold. And if you're not in that mold, then people are going to like come after you. And especially now, like, you guys know me, I'm very opinionated. And I don't want to adhere to anyone's guidelines on what I can or cannot do. Mm-hmm. Even like under, like, for acting too, like, I don't know, it's just a whole thing. Like, I just want to be free as a peacock.
That's cute. I've never heard free as a peacock, but I like it.
Never saw the other guys with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
It's like the funniest movie ever.
I think I did watch that, but it was right before I was about to hook up with this guy. So I don't remember. I have no idea. And then the movie like was still playing, and it was just a lot of yelling. And I was
Oh, yeah, but yeah. But
anyway.
Anyway,
it's to pivot, our co-host of the month, Edwin.
Ed.
Yeah.
He, I don't know what I did.
Idea to, what was your idea about Reddit?
What was my idea?
An idea?
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to read a couple of the Reddit threads and have us decide on a consensus for this like Redditor or like this original poster.
Ooh, I'm excited.
So like I like reading like Am I the Asshole threads or relationship advice threads and stuff like that. So I picked a couple of Am I the Asshole threads.
Yay.
Do you guys wanna
I love judging others.
Yeah, it's fun. My life doesn't seem so bad. Am I the asshole for telling my parents it's their job to help my sister and not mine? My sister, 14 female, and I, 16 female, are not close. She has really bad social skills. She does not have any diagnosis like ADHD or autism, but she has never been good with social stuff. She's very intelligent and is a very good problem solver. She lacks the understanding that easy for her is not easy for everyone. She also lacks the social skills to know / realize that complaining about other people's interests, their lack of skills, etc., is not how you make friends or get people to like you. This has been an issue with her since we were in elementary school, and maybe even preschool. She'd win at almost every board game and would ask really bluntly why everyone else was so bad, normally me. She'd tell me how easy it was and how I should be winning because I'm older. Our parents always bought board games like that, which suited her way more. I really hated playing against her because her attitude after winning wasn't fun or easy to be around, and she was like that with others too. One time our aunt played with us, and she's a teacher, and my sister basically asked how she could be a teacher when she couldn't win a game against a six-year-old. Ooh. I never liked having to spend time with my sister, and I hated playing anything with her even more. She always wanted to spend more time with me, but I avoided that as much as possible. Eventually, she started to sit in on me playing video games, and she would try to backseat game or would criticize me for taking too long to finish a puzzle, or would literally take the controller out of my hand and do the puzzle for me. She was like that when I had friends over too. Then she'd get upset when it was clear we didn't want her around. I tried telling her it was rude to insult people or to interrupt others and to help without being asked and to continue when asked to stop. She would tell me it was boring watching someone struggle and everyone should thank her. There are some things she isn't so good at, and boy, her reactions are strong, like tantrum strong. Our parents banned charades because my sister could not play that to save her life, and we get so mad. She had friends, but all of them eventually drop her once they grow tired of her complaining about stuff they like, as in makeup, music, movies, sports, and indirectly calling them dumb. She's really lonely now because I never hang out with her. She has no friends, and even our cousins don't want to know her. My parents have been on my case about hanging out with my friends and not including my sister, and how I don't ever make time for her anymore. They said I could and should be helping her way more. The other day, I told them it was their job to help her, not mine. They said we're sisters, and yet I don't act like I like her. And the truth is, I don't. I don't know if I ever liked her, really. But I really don't like her now, and I hate every second I spend with her. I didn't tell my parents this, but saying it was their job to help my sister and not mine really pissed them off. Am I the asshole?
No, the parents are the assholes.
Parents are the assholes.
I think the younger sister, I think she is the asshole as well. Like, those are definitely asshole things to do. But I think she probably has some sort of mental disability, and the parents aren't, they're just ignoring it. They're like not treating it at all. So it's like, yes, she is acting like an asshole, but I can't, from what my point of view, what I think, I can't say that she is an asshole. Because of that.
Angela, your thoughts?
When you started reading it, I started to sympathize with the younger sister because it reminded me of me and my brother. My brother is older, but my brother definitely was more of like a social butterfly, and I was very, very shy. So I would always like hide behind him. And he was never like, I don't think he was like an asshole to me, but he was definitely like, there were times where I felt excluded and I was like, oh, like I can't make friends on my own. So I kind of feel. But then like you started reading more, and then like the little sister does sound like she has a form of autism. like just from my opinion. And I agree. I think the parents should be more proactive with having their child be social, and it isn't really up to the older sister. And the sister's like 16. So right. Like, you know, so yeah.
That's no, me. I think, yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think at first I was like, oh, well, you know, she's young, like maybe she, whatever. But then it's like, oh, it seems like some kind of like Asperger's or some, I mean, she said she's bad at socializing. And it's just like, well, I mean, if it's not being helped or like told to her that that's mm-hmm. the reason, and she's just over here thinking like, oh, well, what's wrong with me? That sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah.
So I feel like everyone's a little bit of asshole here, but it's mm-hmm. more just like neglect parenting. So yeah. I don't think that OP is the asshole.
I do you guys not know think what so OP either. Is?
Original poster.
Yeah, thank you.
Gang gang.
Thank you.
Thank all you. Right.
All right. Next one. Am I the asshole for refusing to turn my heat down further to make my upstairs neighbor comfortable? I, 45 male, and my wife, 42 female, live in a house converted into an apartment. We've lived here for 6 years, had two really good neighbors, and then there's the current one. We try to be good neighbors. We live on the first floor. The neighbor lives on the second. Each apartment is a separate unit in its own bathroom, kitchen, living room, electric bill, water bill, trash, etc. Each unit has its own heater thermostat, which is where the issue arises. Last week, where we live, the temperature dropped into single negative numbers during the day, double negative at night, along with 13 inches of snow. My wife and I were reasonably cold, so I turned our heat up to 72 from 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Things were going well for that week, and the temperatures began to rise again, so I turned the heat down to 70. 2 days ago, the temperature high was 29. It felt like 25. So I left the heat at 70. Our upstairs neighbors, I honestly don't know her age, but I guess around 35 to 40, knocked on our door and asked us to turn down our heat because her apartment was 76 degrees. I apologized and agreed to lower it back down to 68. Later that evening, there was another knock on the door, and it was her again, saying her apartment was still hot. She even brought her thermometer down and requested that we turn our heat down further. I told her that we had our heat down to 68 already, but we would turn it down even farther to 66. She didn't say anything, but went back upstairs. My wife and I slept under two blankets. Yesterday, there was a note on our door from her stating that she's been nice and asking us to turn down the heat, that her apartment is still at 74 degrees and it's too hot for her to sleep. She again wants the heat lowered, and she said she would be comfortable in her apartment at 68 to 70. Here's where I might be the asshole. I wrote my own note stating, "Dear neighbor, I've complied twice with your request, and that's not enough for you. If you still haven't noticed, we have snow on the ground, and it's still in the low 20s and 30s because it's winter. If you're still hot in your apartment, perhaps you should turn down your own heat, buy a fan, or open a few windows. My wife and I will not freeze ourselves to make you comfortable. Our temperature will remain at 69 until the winter is over and spring returns. Do not knock and do not put any more notes on our door. This matter is settled." And I placed it on her door. This morning around 5, she was being extra loud, stomping, slamming doors. And when I started to head to work, she called me an asshole before getting into her own car. So Reddit, am I the asshole?
Yo, I would throw hands. No, listen, I need to know, is the guy the landlord?
It doesn't say anywhere that he's the landlord.
Okay, if he's the landlord, then it would be his problem. But if he's not the landlord, then she better get herself a fan because, like, I mean, I don't really see how it's his problem. Like, yeah, maybe his heater is connected some way to hers, but I would straight up just be like, hey, like, I'm not getting pneumonia or hypothermia because you are three degrees hot. Like, it sounds like your problem.
Right. Yeah, and I think also at the beginning they said that each of the units were connected to like an individual heater.
Yeah.
So, and she even said like, you should turn on your heater. So like, I don't know why her apartment would get hot that hot because of their apartment.
Yeah.
And they right. only, it was like a 4-degree difference, right? So it's like, yeah. how was it that hot? It was right. weird.
Yeah. No, I think so. I feel like that's one of those like princess in the pea type situations.
Yeah.
Like they're like so particular with how they want things. And it's like because they can see a thermostat, they know the difference. But if there wasn't one, they probably wouldn't notice.
I mean, it sounds like her thermostat is broken, but it's like her.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Oh, and then she's just like tricking herself into thinking it's hot because she sees the thermostat.
No, that like her thermostat is individually broken and it has no connection to his thermostat.
Right.
I would have just said like, hey, my thermostat is at 68. Like, I'll just lie and see if she would be like, oh yeah, it's breezy here. I'm like, yeah, you're lying the whole time. We would have a war because I have a bad history with neighbors. Like if a neighbor pisses me off, I would
Bro.
Start a war because I grew up in Queens. Like my neighbors were assholes, so this triggered me a little bit.
Okay, I see. No, okay, yo, okay. So you guys know how I cosplay and do like props sometimes.
Yeah.
So like we were out. So this last con, we made like 5 cosplays in like one single sitting because
Whoa.
We were trying to get friends to cosplay with us, but they're not
Aww.
cosplayers, so we had to make their cosplays. And so we were pulling like all-nighters just making these costumes.
Aww, so you could hang out with your friends.
Yeah. And
Aww.
so we had to spray paint foam at one point. And so I would take the foam, bring it to the like back of our apartment building, and then start spray painting. And I remember like our upstairs neighbor like came out to the window and started like taking pictures of us and was just like, what are you guys doing? What's happening? Blah blah. And I'm just like, I'm painting, bro. Like what? I literally had cardboard down. I taped plastic around it. I was just like, bro, I'm not doing anything wrong. You can literally see this is a feather that I'm painting. And she was like, don't you have anything better to do right now? And I'm like,
I would be like, do you? Like, you're the one hanging out your ass out the window.
Yeah, so I might have stretched the truth and said that I was an art student and this was for class, and you're creating an inability for me to continue my educational process.
Ooh, what'd she say? What'd she say?
And she was like, wow, you're something else. And I was like, I hope I will be something else at some point.
That's a good comeback.
Ed was in character.
Yo, I was tight. I was just like, yo, get the fuck off me, bro. Like, I don't know. Anyways,
yeah,
that's my tidbit. But yeah, no, I agree. I kind of like, if you're having a problem with your temperature, you just deal with it. Like, you figure it out. I don't know. I'm so like non-confrontational when it comes to my.
Yeah, I'm just like wondering why she's going to this particular guy unless he's the landlord. Like,
yeah, yeah. Because, like, I guess also just being in New York, it's like we don't have control over our heat,
over
you know,
anything.
Like over it all. So it's like we have our AC running sometimes, like in the winter when it's like 11 degrees out, because the landlord makes
Yeah.
the heat so high because
Yeah.
they'd rather us be super hot than cold, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which, like, I respect. I was in an apartment before that the heat did not work as well. So this is fine. But it's like, yeah, I would never. It's like her apartment. Like, I just don't understand how his heat would affect her. Like, I get it that heat rises, but
yeah,
I have like a, I'm living in like a cottage house, like adjacent to my parents, and we have a thermostat, but we have separate water heaters. So it doesn't affect if I have, because I like to be warm. Like, my heat is on 75, and they like
oh,
to be
you're
like
warm.
970. So, but it doesn't affect, even though like we are literally
like right next to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's just trying to start something.
Yeah. I think she was wilding.
Someone commented saying that I've been an upstairs neighbor to someone who heated their place like a sauna in the winter. We nicknamed them the Vulcan because we're nerds and Vulcan is a desert planet. And often complain
Star
often
Trek?
Complain to each other how much the Vulcan roasted us alive. When it got too hot, we opened the window, vented the heat out into the snowy outside, and then closed it up again when we were comfortable. We did need to leave the bedroom window cracked open overnight when we slept, but even if her heat isn't on, my old building had veiling heat, so your heat controls did affect the upstairs neighbor more than you. There's a source of a cooler air right there in the winter. So, yeah, I don't know.
Some context. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Still.
Yeah.
But he seemed to deal with it, like himself, that, or that the other poster seemed to deal with it himself. You know, he wasn't like knocking on his downstairs, their downstairs neighbor's door. So I don't know.
I don't know. All right.
She would have gotten the middle finger for sure, like on her way to work. Like a good morning.
Oh my gosh.
Nah, I try to be so nice to neighbors though, because I'm just like, bro, I'm not trying to fight where I live.
Like they my neighbors are like much bigger than me, and I still like I got my shovel and I got my threats out. They will not rule me.
Angela is a different breed.
Yeah, literally built different. Okay. How often do you guys go out to dinner in like groups?
Oh, I know what this is going to be about. I can assume. I wouldn't say too often. Maybe like, honestly, maybe once every couple months.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I know what this story is, and I have another story for that.
I
feel very strongly about things like this, so we'll see.
Okay. Am I the asshole for preemptively striking against splitting the bill at a group dinner? Title says it all, but here's the story. I was invited to a group dinner and decided to go. I usually decline because two couples in this group are freeloaders and the split the check type. They order expensive items on the menu, appetizers and cocktails, while I get a moderately priced dish and a Coke. I was told they wouldn't be there this time, and that's why I decided to go. Well, they were there. And I didn't bother asking what the story was because it didn't matter. I knew what was going to happen come check time. So I excused myself, went to flag down my server, and asked if he would please separate my bill from the others. He agreed. When time came to pay the bill, I handed the server my credit card and paid the bill. I tipped 25%. The freeloaders went, "Oh, I thought we were splitting like we always do." To which I said, "Oh, well, you're bad."
Bold, okay.
But this prompted two other people in the group to ask for separate checks too, which the server happily did. After I paid, I told everyone good night and went on my way. The next day, I got a text from another person in the group, 9 total, the two freeloading couples, and 5 solos, that I was an asshole for doing that. They do normally split the bill, as it gives everyone a chance to have a nice meal they couldn't otherwise afford, and it also makes splitting the 20% group gratuity easier. I told her I would not be guilted into staying within my means and not paying for moochers. Then I said the only reason why I came was because I thought the mooch couple wouldn't be there because they've been doing this for years. Still, I'm accused of disrupting the group vibe. Did I? I would think not, because the two that also asked for separate bills. Okay, there's an update. I forwarded the text to the two people who also asked for separate bills. They both were upset by the text and reassured me that I was not the asshole. They said they too were growing tired of the moochers and wished they stood up for themselves sooner. Then one of them said that the group vibe was disrupted when I first stopped coming. Everyone knew why. So it made the mooching the elephant in the room, and his bad for not addressing it out of his need to go along to get along. The other agreed, and then they both said they missed having me there. Made me feel so good. The three of us then reached out to the solo member who didn't ask for a separate check. This person also the organizer. The first thing she did was apologize to me for poor communication. She admitted they changed their minds about not coming in plenty of time to inform me, but she really wanted me to come. She realized she should have when she saw the look on my face. She said she was tired of the mooching too, but was too much of a coward to say something, which only fueled their "we always do it this way" ammo. Then she filled us in on what happened after we left. Turned out the other two separated Turns out the other two separate bills left shortly after I did. Everyone ended up getting separate checks, which made the two mooch couple, the two mooch couples angry. They justified their mooching the same way the chick in the text did. They have expenses, we don't. And would it kill us to help them have a little joy? Yeah, not happening, buddy. The four of us are going to start having a new group dinner and at a different restaurant.
Okay. I definitely don't think that guy's an asshole. I think that it was a guy, right? OP was a guy.
He didn't say, but I'm assuming because he said chick, and I don't think women say that.
We're gonna assume based on that, but who knows? Yeah. So yeah, I don't think he's an asshole. I think that one line when he was like, "Oh, you're bad," that was kind of funny.
Well, you're bad.
That might have been. I don't think that was like that was an asshole move, but I don't think he was an asshole. I think he did the right thing. There's been a lot of. I think it depends on what the event is, whether or not I'm going to ask for a separate bill or not. I think sometimes when we go out, like if I'll go out with like a group of friends, specifically like birthdays, I kind of expect that it's going to be split. And my mom always said, like at a very young age, she was like, Tessa, like if everyone else in a group is ordering the steak, order the steak so that you at least get the same value that everyone else is getting so that like you aren't ripped off. And that's, so I think birthdays are like, special occasions are the only where I'm like already mentally prepared for that. I'm like, that's what I'm going to prepare for this or that. But there have been like multiple times in the past where they're like, oh, we're just going to do an even split or like something like that. And like there was one time where I got to an event late. So they ordered like multiple pitchers of margaritas and like apps and I didn't eat any of them. And I was like, hey, like I didn't eat any of these. Can you cut me out of that? Like I'll take like the just like cut out that split. And then there was this other time where I was at a friend's birthday dinner and she had a whole itinerary. She was very prepared, but she was like, be prepared to spend this amount. Like if you're coming, like she gave this information to us like months in advance. She was like, if you're coming, please be prepared to spend this amount of money. If you have any issues, let me know beforehand. No one had issues. So we went, but, I remember I was balling out that night. I was like, give me this. Like we were in Vegas. I was going to buy whatever I wanted, you know? But there was this other girl and I noticed she only got apps. So when we were like splitting the bill, we were like, how are we going to do this? And the way we had been doing it that week is like we all were just putting it on like everyone's credit card and then like and then they would pay us back like whatever you paid for. But for whatever reason that night, I don't know what it was, but this one girl was like, oh, let's just do an even split because we all were like prepared to pay this amount anyway because like the first girl had put it on there. And so I remember like I balled out. I actually spent probably one of the most amounts out of everyone else there. So but I saw that other girl and I was like, hey, like I get that, but like some people didn't order as much as other people, so I don't, that might not be okay with everyone. If it's okay with everyone, let's see, but like I don't want to pressure anyone to do that, me personally. And then I think the other girl did end up just doing like just splitting it evenly. But I was like, I can't control other people. I can only just like speak up, but I know she was felt uncomfortable about it. Those are my two.
Nice. Yeah, that was very nice of you. I wish someone would stand up for me that way. So
I remember your one story. I think you shared it with us.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Oh shit. But yeah, I have started carrying cash whenever I go out.
Yes, yes. That's smart.
That one story where it's just like, well, it's more specifically because like Wei doesn't drink and her best friend Brian also doesn't drink, and then my like I call her sister, she's not my sister, my sister Cece also doesn't drink. So it's just like I drink, but if they're not drinking then I don't really feel the need to drink. And if we're all gonna go to like a party together and then everyone wants to split the check but they got like pictures of sangria, two or three beers. I'm just like, bro, these guys did not drink. They're not paying for your drinks.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And also like the whole mentality. Oh, that's what got me is something in the wording where they were like, oh, this way it gives everyone a chance to enjoy a good meal. And I was like, well, it doesn't give everyone a chance to enjoy the good meal if like OP only got like a pasta and like a Diet Coke, you know?
Right. Yeah. Facts.
So I was like, that's null and void.
Right. Like, it's like, well, why am I going to make sure that I'm staying within my budget just so that you, and then had to pay extra for you when I was trying to be like price conscious.
I wonder what they were talking about, because they said that the couples had expenses, and I'm wondering like what they were referring to. Like, did they have kids? Did they have mortgages? And it's like, okay, yeah, you have those expenses, but like those are your expenses. Those are not like your friend's expenses. And like, not to say like your friends aren't going to help you out. Like, I've like helped out my friends have helped out me. Like, they've treated like my best friend and I, like, we have to fight over who pays the bill, you know, because it's like, we both want to pay for each other.
Right.
But it's like, that's the way, like, if you are going to say like, oh, like, let's all have a nice dinner, then it's like the other people have to be prepared to give OP and like the other singles a nice dinner too.
Right. So. Exactly. Exactly. So someone commented, not the asshole. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I always assumed we were getting together to socialize as friends, not subsidize meals for other people that cost more than what we have, more than what I have budgeted for myself. If that is the group vibe, then I hereby opt out of the group. The fact that other people followed your lead in requesting separate checks shows that you are not the only person who feels this way. They were just looking for someone else to be brave enough to do it first. If I were you, I would contact those other two, and start a new ditch dinner group.
Yeah.
Which is, I think that was before the update. Yeah.
Yeah. Angela, did you have anything to comment on?
No, I guess like you guys pretty much said what, because I don't like to drink, because like I don't like to drink, and it's like a waste of money for me, because I would just take like one sip and then that's like $15-$20 down the drain. Mm-hmm. So but it's like it gets complicated, because it's like, oh, we ordered appetizer and we all ate the appetizer, but then we had this meal and this meal. So I always like, it depends on who I'm with too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like if I'm with like a really good friend and she orders something cheaper than me, or vice versa, like we'll just split it because we're like whatever. But when it comes to like, because I was at a dinner with like people from Chick-fil-A, and there were like 12 of us, and we were at Dave and Buster's, and we all like, we literally were like, we want separate checks. So we tipped the waitress like a lot, because she did like 12 separate bills for each of us, because it's like, it's also not fair, because it's like, you know, people they're not hungry, they don't want to eat like expensive food, they can't afford it. The people in the story sound really entitled, like, oh, like we deserve this meal because we have a lot of expenses. Like, who told you to have children? Like, it's not our problem,
right?
So, yeah, I mean, like, I guess, and like, sometimes
that's gonna get clipped and be like, Angela hates children.
Well, it's not a lie, but
you should meet my friend Raekwon. Wait, let me. You gotta alert. He also hates kids.
Yeah, no, I would pay extra to be on a plane with no children or whatever. And I work with kids, so I'm like, I'm just tired of it. But anyways, like my point is that it depends on who I'm with, and sometimes I'm with people who are really good mathematicians, so they'll like calculate how much everyone should pay and whatever. But yeah, bottom line is you shouldn't feel entitled to get a free meal if it's not your birthday, and it just depends on who I'm with. The end.
Facts.
That mentality has always been so weird, but yeah
I don't get it.
Did you have any others?
Yeah, there's another one.
Yes. Yeah, I love these.
I know, I love these so much. It's so bad. Am I the asshole for saying my partner is the one that's lucky to be with me? So I, 23 female, have been dating my boyfriend, 25 male, for a year and a half now. We're happily together, rarely argue, and are very much in love. For context, I'm a first-generation immigrant from a third-world country living in a European country, and my boyfriend, on the other hand, is a native. I study robotics and he studied linguistics, but is currently unemployed. Anyways, on to the issue. I've met his family a handful of times now, and at first they were very welcoming and lovely. I really thought they liked me, and then they started making comments like, oh, you must be very happy you ended with a guy like your boyfriend. And you're such a lucky girl to be dating your boyfriend. I would smile and say, I'm very happy, and he's indeed a thoughtful, loving man. This went on for a while until eventually I just blurted out, oh, well, he's lucky to be with me just as much as I am to be lucky to be with him. And his mom laughed and said, not exactly, and told me that I have to admit the perks of dating a native and how men like him usually don't date girls like me. I found this very offensive and told her I do love her son, but he is unemployed and probably will be for a very long time because of his useless degree, and that if someone is lucky, it would be him. Obviously, she got very mad and kicked me out, and I gladly left. My boyfriend wasn't present at that time, but I suspect his mother told him everything except the part where she was very racist, because he called me and was angry that I said he's lucky to be with me and that his degree is useless, as if I'm better than him. I pointed out that it's hypocritical of him to say when his family does that to me every day and he never stood up to them. Anyways, now thinking back on it, I think I shouldn't have said that about him, that my grievance is with his family and not him. So am I the asshole?
No. I'm channeling my mother's energy here, where the like a man who's unemployed is never the catch. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, no. I feel for the girl because it's like everyone is telling her that she's lucky to be with him just because, what, he's European? Like, what benefit would she get? Unless it's like they're implying that it's like immigration privilege stuff, but it doesn't it doesn't make any sense. Like, she's the one making money, and she said that it's not like she's saying she's better than him. She said we're equally good for each other. So yeah,
right. And then only when like the mom wanted to like report that or like retort to that was she like, okay, well actually your son's useless.
Yeah, well, literally.
Well, actually, let me tell you how it really goes. I'm making money and paying for him, and he's living here because he decided to waste 4 years on something that's not going to make money. And that's, well, that's what she said.
Yeah. Well, as someone who loves linguistics, I would say she shouldn't have phrased it like that. But yeah, like if he's unemployed, what? Like, right, what is right. The what?
small counterpoint. I think that she is not the asshole, and I think she realized it later though, that the issue was more with his family. I don't think you should talk down about your significant others to other people, even if it's their family. So even though the mom was like, cause I'm just thinking like, if like John's mom would never do this, but if my like significant other's mom was like, oh, like you're lucky to be with him, I'd be like, yeah, I am. I think we're both lucky to be with each other. Like, I think that's how I would phrase it. Like, I don't think I would say like, oh, well, he's lucky to be with me. So, but I can definitely.
They're saying you're lucky to be with him because he's a native.
Yeah, but again, I don't think the boyfriend did not do anything at that point. So I don't think he necessarily. She did drag him a little bit, and that's kind of my thing. It's like, you can defend yourself, but I don't think she should have dragged him.
Right. I think that I've been in this situation before.
Oh, my God.
I've been the OP in this situation before.
No.
Yeah, because my ex was very pretty. And so anytime we went anywhere, I always got the, oh, you're so lucky to be with her. Oh, you're so lucky to be with her. Oh my God. Mm. You're like, she's such a cat, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm not saying that she's not. Like, she was a great person and she was pretty. But like, hearing it all the time really sucks. That sucks. Like, thinking, like, having the world see you as something less than doesn't feel good ever. Mm-hmm. And specifically when it comes from family, it's worse.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, so like, do you guys not think of me like in the high, like in highly, or like, am I not?
Her family would say that to you?
No.
Oh, okay.
But like thinking of how it was and putting myself in that situation, it's like, oh, if her family did say that to me, yeah, I would have just cried and been sad. Oh. But you know. but like, yeah. So I get where she's coming from. I do agree that like I think it was like more out of anger than it was out of anything that she like lashed out and said like negative things about the boyfriend instead of just like stating facts, just being like, well, you know, currently this is how I view worth with like monetary or like capitalist ideals. So it's like my degree earns money and currently he's unemployed. So for me personally, we make up the 50-50 where it's like I bring the money, he brings the love and the nurture and the things that like a loving couple would want. And I guess it helps that he's a native, so I have privileges that other people don't. I don't know. That part to me is like, okay, yeah, you guys are racist. But
also it's like I feel for her because it's like the pressure of being like the breadwinner, like to be financially responsible for two people, especially the other person is more than like able, well, I assume he's able to work. It's like, it's, I feel for her because it's like, well, I like, it's a lot. Like, I know like it's like capitalist ideals or whatever, but it's a lot to be the breadwinner. You know, I don't know.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like she shouldn't be angry. Like, I obviously would have been angry too. Like, that's definitely something. So I get why she said what she said. I'm not saying I don't get it, but
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So the internet or Reddit voted everyone sucks. All right. So here's one of the,
the comments.
So, yeah. So this user's username is a bureaucratic dick.
Thank you, bureaucratic dick. Thank you.
Asshole aficionado is the tagline that they received. So he put, or they, sorry, I'm not sure. Everyone sucks here. You got it right at the end. Attacking him for their BS was wrong. Dude wasn't even present and was catching strays. Also, calling virtually any degree useless belittles your own, because there is someone out there who has no idea what you do, who thinks yours is too, or doesn't think you really learned how to do it. Every time I hear someone belittling entire field of studies, I assume they only do it because they weren't very good in their own.
And I also want to say too, so the audience doesn't think I'm a complete asshole, is like, I understand, like, if you are the breadwinner in the relationship and your partner is not working, that doesn't mean that your partner is useless, because they do contribute to other ways. Like, they'll, I don't know, like, they'll make your breakfast or something. They'll give you
Don't backtrack.
Yeah. I don't know. How much money for you guys, how much money would your partner have to make for you to be comfortable with them being the breadwinner, to be comfortable with not working?
Wait, what do you mean? My significant other is basically the breadwinner.
You work. Stop it. You have jobs.
You have a job, though.
You have a job.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm just not working.
Okay, stop it. But like, stop it. I'm sure you save and are responsible with your money, but that's not. Uh-huh. All right. So I'll give my example. For me, like, I think just knowing my lifestyle, like, John would have to be making at least what he makes and I make currently, like, at the very least, in order for me to feel comfortable quitting my job. Actually, no, I would have to say like $20,000 more than what he and I make together in order for me to like comfortably quit my job and like be okay with that. And I think same, like, he, like, I feel like I would have to be making, no, for me it's even more. I think I would have to be making like $200,000 for him for me to comfortably be okay with him not working. Like, I don't know, like, that would be like no issues, like, okay, we have everything we have, like, I don't know.
I think, don't care if my significant other wants to be the breadwinner. I don't mind that if they want that pressure for themselves. I think, though, that a lot of that depends on what she wants, like, her lifestyle to be and like her expenses to be, and if she's comfortable spending that much for me as well. Then I'm like, okay, cool, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. I'll be the house husband. I'll vacuum, I'll clean, I'll cook. But like, I think if that's like the case, then there needs to be like a very solid understanding of like the things that she expects from me now that I'm no longer working. That way it's not like something comes up and she's like, oh, well, why didn't you do that? Or, oh, well, I'm over here making all the money. And now she's like holding it over me that she's like making all the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's like another thing, is that there would now be a power struggle. Or not a power struggle, but it'd be like someone's like, okay, well, I'm exerting all this like effort so that we can live comfortably. And then you're over here, like under my understanding or like my assumption, not putting as much effort in because I'm not putting anything monetarily into like the bucket or the pot, you know?
Yeah, I think, but I also think like, let's say one person was making like that, like, so let's say you still had the same amount of the same job that you had now, but you were making, that one person was making more than enough for you both to live on. Like, I don't think there's not as much of a, there is a power dynamic, yes, but it's also not, it's like the other person at that point doesn't need to work. It's like, it's not at the point where it's like, okay, we both need to have jobs. If one person is making like a significant amount of money, then the other person theoretically, like as long as like you guys trust each other, like technically doesn't need to work because that other person is covering everything. Right. So I think it's just like showing to what you said too, like to showing like what the other person who isn't working, like what they would do to contribute in like other ways.
Yeah. Like back massages.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's like two parts for my answer. It's like, one, how much debt do you have? Like, how much expenses do you have?
True.
And also for me, it's like, I grew up very, very poor. Like, there were many, many years where I was like, I don't know what we're going to eat. Like, it was very, so it's, I think it would take therapy for me.
Therapy. That's a new one, ladies and gentlemen.
To like relinquish control, like saying like I don't have my own money. Like it's like money is also very psychological. Like it's not just, do you have mathematically enough? Like would I be able to fully depend on someone else for my well-being? I don't really see that happening. Even if my husband was like a millionaire, I would still want my own money and I would still want to work.
Angela, if your husband is a millionaire, this is what you're gonna do. What you're gonna do is you're gonna open as many, like you're gonna open a high yield interest savings account.
You're gonna open a Roth IRA.
No, well, if you can't open a Roth IRA if you're not working, you can only put that. Yeah. So you're gonna open a high yield interest account. And then you're gonna invest like, let's say you said he's a millionaire, let's say that this person is worth like, I don't know, 10 million. You're gonna be like, I want, on your wedding you're gonna be like, I need 2 million off the bat, that's yours. What you're gonna do is you're gonna put those in their accounts, and like even he could even have access to the account, like it's fine, like it can be a joint account. But what you're gonna do in the prenup is say this, I that you get to keep all the interest that is accrued over those accounts over the years. And that is how you make a backup plan for your financial wellness if anything were to go wrong.
Nice. That's sugar daddy 101.
Yes, but like that's how I think, like that's just something that like is smart, because it's like you can like fully like love someone like and really trust them, but also you just don't know what's going to happen with life. So
yeah,
it's like
for
you kind of want to be prepared.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to get married because I want my net worth to be my net worth, and you can do what you want to do. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's so scary. Like, I understand for other people, but for me personally, it's so scary for me.
No, I understand.
I don't have my own money. And
I feel you.
Or vice versa, like I have to take care of someone else. Like that's just, it's a lot. Like I don't
Angela,
want to.
My Lolo and Lola to this day, they have separate bank accounts.
And another, like I don't believe in married couples having separate accounts. That doesn't make sense either.
What?
That's why I'm like, because it's like when you're married, you're one person. So like, why are you doing two different goals for one life? It doesn't make sense. That's why I don't want to get married.
I don't.
I cannot live with a husband and we have separate accounts. It doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense to me.
So you could get a joint account.
Yeah.
With separate checkings and separate savings and separate whatever, but you.
What if he's like paying for hookers
account.
With his own money? You
and
know,
you'll see it.
I don't know. Because my parents are the type of people who like they have they're like glorified roommates. Like they don't combine anything. They don't. They're not okay. on the same page. I don't know. Like this isn't like Angela goes to therapy session. But basically, to answer your question, I will not get married, and I will build my own net worth. Thank you very much.
Drop the mic.
Okay, that was a lot. I'm gonna move on. I had another point, but let's just move on.
Do you know who else is married with their own net worth? Well, I don't know if they don't combine.
Is he married?
Yeah, is he married?
He's married. Yeah, he's married to another actor, but she's not like a famous actor.
Oh.
Not Lena Dunham?
What? Ew.
It was a girl's reference, guys.
Oh. Oh, I get it. I don't know. I just get triggered when I hear her name.
Oh.
Ooh. Triggered.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Adam Driver. It was Adam Driver. That was
the answer. The audience should know at this point. What are we at, like 50-something? 51?
We would love to hear your thoughts on anything that we have talked about. Leave it in the comments. If you're listening on Spotify, there's like a place where you can leave your comments. And also, guys, ooh, if you, like, you should tell your friends, too, like, if they want to send, like, a voice message and they could be part of the podcast.
That'd be so fun. We could do that?
Yeah.
Wait, I want to look and see if anyone's left us any comments.
Yeah, so send us a voice message. Let us hear your thoughts. Thank you. Comment
if Angela is the asshole.
Yo, leave a comment saying that Angela is the asshole. That's it.
So if you made it this far.
I don't mind being the asshole because, you know, that just means I stand up for my belief.
Uh-huh.
Alrighty.
As the only, I think I'm the only native New Yorker here, so it makes sense
that you are the asshole.
Whatever.
Where are the comments? I don't see the comments.
I don't think you're an asshole. I hope you don't think.
Thank you, Ed. That's why you're the co-host of the month.